All right, listen, media bias. So this is the paradigm that we have in front of us right now. The fact that the media, and look, I'm in the media. The name of my company is Right Side Media. But the bottom line is this. How you hold yourself out to the general public actually matters. And guess what? There actually are some measure of licensing that some people have to go through that indicates that they are, I don't know, going to adhere to certain guidelines. So the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is supposed to be what regulates much of what we consider to be the mainstream or large-scale media. That's the TV and you know, and the ones that are national in scope and they cross, you know, state borders, you know, using the airwaves. It's a little different than the radio. Radio, the signal is licensed to the station as opposed to the content. But the idea that you're going to be a news show, especially, and claim to be objective, and then you get out there and you know for a fact that you're not objective when you said you were, that's called lying and super influencing the public. And there's been this stuff throughout history. I mean, there's the old story about, I think it was William Randolph Hearst, I believe, who, when it came time for the Spanish-American War, you know, and Teddy Roosevelt going up San Juan Hill and all that, he said, you raise the army, I'll give you the war. And he incited the public. And there are some that believe that he used his press position. I think it was Hearst who used his press position to be able to incite the public to make the idea of going to war in Cuba more palatable. I don't think it took a stretch because we actually had one of our ships sunk in the harbor at Havana. But nonetheless, what we're seeing nowadays, though, is beyond the pale. You looking that up? What we're seeing right now is beyond the pale. When you see a show that holds itself out as an objective news, like 60 Minutes, for instance, they hold themselves out as the harbinger of truth, the arbiter of all things that are known and need to be known. They are indeed 60 Minutes. I look at that and think, my gosh, you guys are lying. Either that or you're lying to yourselves at the very least. But here's the deal. Sean Hannity can come on. Everybody knows he's a conservative. His is conservative content. You know, Gutfeld comes on at night on Fox. Everybody knows it's a conservative show. They will laugh at liberals. You can look at Bill Maher on HBO. He's going to be, and by the way, some of his commentary is pretty incisive, but Bill Maher is going to be a decided liberal, generally speaking. Jon Stewart, a decided liberal. You can go watch The View, and you know for a fact that unless they want to try and portray otherwise, you're going to pretty much get a liberal view on The View. But when you see things like CBS Evening News, 60 Minutes, you know, even like Bret Baier with Fox, if you see them trying to pretend that they are and they are distorting the news, that's wrong. Do you find that? What was it?
So the quote I'm seeing is William Randolph Hearst. He said to a photographer in Cuba, quote, "You furnish the pictures and I'll furnish the war." Is that the quote you're talking about?
Okay, that must be it. And that's less inflammatory because he was getting pictures of one of our ships that was being sunk in the Havana Harbor. I've forgotten the name of the ship.
Yeah, it was a photographer who says he wired Hearst that there's no war down here. And then Hearst responded and said, "You furnish the pictures, I'll furnish the war."
So. Okay, well, maybe it was. yeah, it was way over. I was right. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the deal. Newsmax got a piece here that came out yesterday. Trump's FCC, so the Federal Communications Commission, Trump gets to actually appoint the person in charge, is my understanding. And there is some reason to believe that liberal outlets like CBS are going to be forced to have to objectify themselves a little more, have to basically put their political activism aside, or at the very least declare it openly, because that's the thing. If you declare it openly, it's a different story. If you say, here we are, conservative content, come listen or watch what we have, that's different than saying, we're objective, and you're really not. But journalist Charles Gasparino said that CBS News might be forced to come clean on how it cleaned up the Vice President Kamala Harris interview. Remember that? They actually edited her interview. They posted one of the answers to her questions different than what she had answered it in the actual interview. It's just... it's nuts that they can do that and keep a straight face, and they've never really fully answered it. It says, but according to people close to Trump's transition team, CBS could, among other things, be forced to have to turn over a full transcript of the controversial 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. Interesting. But the other thing we've got is the FCC also approves major mergers. So the major merger that we're looking at right now is Skydance Media. Skydance, it's a Hollywood movie studio. I mean, they make like Mission Impossible movies and all that. But Skydance is looking at an $8 billion merger with Paramount Global, and that would mean then that CBS would be involved. And CBS would then be subjected to standards, you know, related to whether they have a neutral broadcast or not. The end result is this. If you're going to be literally calling yourself objective, then maybe you should be. Now, I've got a piece. I pulled this from a website called allsides.com. It's fascinating. I would say go look at it. All Sides, it's all one word. All Sides Media Bias Chart. And it's a trademarked name. That's what they call it, the All Sides Media Bias Chart. And I'm looking at, and by the way, JP, tell that caller he's got to hold on during the break because I'm going to be talking right up to the last second here. We're about to go to break anyway. But the All Sides Media Bias Chart, I've got a copy of it in my hands. I'll hold it up to the camera. It's fascinating to look at because they do all of these surveys, and they rank different medias in terms of their bias ratings. And it's a pretty robust methodology. I mean, they go and they survey thousands of people. In fact, this one had 2,400 respondents. And they've got everything from left, center, right, and right. And so I'll just tell you right now, you can imagine who they are. Who's in the far left? Daily Beast, Huffington Post, Mother Jones. I mean, who reads that crap? But somebody does. Now look at the far right. Who's on the far right? Well, they say Fox News is on the far right. I don't know that I would say that. I think Fox News is more like center right. But they've got Breitbart, Blaze Media, The American Spectator, National Review, New York Post, Newsmax, all in the far right. Who's in the center? Name one. Who do you think would be in the center? I'm talking to JP right now.
They would probably say like CNN.
They put CNN on the center left.
Center left. Oh, okay.
Yeah, center left. They've got in the center, just flat out in the center, like fairly neutral, considered to be roughly unbiased, Wall Street Journal. Surprised by that. Reuters. Real Clear Politics. They say News Nation is in the center. I was surprised by that because I thought News Nation was kind of center left. But here's the thing. If you want to know where they stand, go check out the All Sides Media Chart. I may just keep this in a drawer and refer to it periodically. So when I pull up a resource, I go, this one is, they're left. But most of them I know. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. I ran long. We'll come right back. And I'll tell you, though, when it comes to media bias, what's about to happen with the White House briefing room? Are there changes coming? Well, Caroline Leavitt, she's got some things to say about that. She's on the new Trump team. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, let me go to the phones real quick because he held on during the break, and I really appreciate it. Sorry to keep you holding. Lloyd from Cortland. Hey, Lloyd, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Don't forget old General Joe.
Do what now?
General Joe Wheeler helped Teddy on that charge up San Juan Hill over.
Oh, yeah. Joe Wheeler. Wheeler Dam right here in Alabama.
Yes, sir. He was in on that, too.
All right. Well, good enough. Yeah, Alabama connection to the charge up San Juan Hill. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was, there's a thing around here. He was the only man that fought for both sides. He fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War, and then he helped Teddy and him up there. He fought for the America then, you know.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize that the entire 167th Infantry from Alabama fought in multiple battles for the Confederacy in the Civil War, even charged up Little Round Top at Gettysburg, and then they were converted to a federal unit and went to World War I and became heroes for the U.S. government just about, 30 years later?
Yeah.
But, all right, Lloyd. Hey, man, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. I got some text messages, people chiming in about me trying to remember the, USS Maine was the one that was sunk in Havana Harbor. And it says that William Randolph Hearst sparred with Pulitzer to stoke the flames of passion for the war, the birth of yellow journalism. That's exactly right. Wendell from Baton Rouge said that. Thank you, Wendell. TC from Priceville says the actual problem, and he gives me a meme. What does it say? said Obama made it legal for the media to purposely lie to the American people because in 2012 he signed H.R. 4310, which allowed propaganda to be used by U.S. citizens by its own government. I think I need to look back up on that. I do not recall this as part of the NDAA. Okay, I'll find out what we're talking about. Chris from Gadsden checks in. He says, remember the Maine? He said that was the cry after our battleship was sunk in Havana Harbor. Of course, now the story is we sunk it ourselves so we could go to war with Spain. Yeah, I've always thought that was dubious. There was questions about how it went off. Did a powder magazine blow up and blow a hole in it? Or was it actually attacked? The reality is we still have Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, as a base because we seized it, I believe, at the close of the Spanish-American War, and we have never given it back. And so Cuba, communist nation, and yet there's a Marine Corps-run base, Navy and Marines, right there at Guantanamo Bay. And that's why we sent our prisoners from Afghanistan and Iraq there, because they could be held there. It was not on U.S. soil, not even a U.S. territory, just an installation, just a place. Yeah, I had a great story I'll tell you one time about in Baghdad when the guy, we suddenly found some contraband on him. We said, how do you like Gitmo? And he knew exactly what we were saying. John from Harvest says, Phil, I think it was Mark Twain who said, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed. John from Harvest. Dave from Madison said, it was Remember the Maine. Thank you. You are correct, sir. So I got a piece here. LifeSet ran a piece saying that Trump's incoming White House press secretary, her name's Caroline Leavitt, she's looking at floating alternative media joining the press room. So right now, I mean, that I don't know. Can Right Side Media get press credentials for the White House? Is that what we're saying?
That would be pretty cool.
She says literally that she recognizes that there's a need to push for a revamp of the White House briefing room to better align with the way Americans consume news today. Does that mean Twitter is allowed to have? Catherine Herridge might be back in the White House. Doesn't she work for Twitter now? I think she does.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people float ideas, and Trump himself even floated this, of having podcasters do it, like Sean Ryan, people like that, or somebody like a part of that team, you know, instead of mainstream media. That, I mean, there's so many people in there I've never even heard of. I mean, I know who they work for, the CNN or whatever, but like, I feel like more people know who Sean Ryan or Joe Rogan is than anybody on CNN.
And that's exactly right. Yeah. And look at how that influenced the campaigns.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that music playing? Mm-hmm. Are we at a break already?
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, State Senator Garland Gudger joining us to talk about media bias. Well, he should know about it. He's from Coleman, and that's been something else lately. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. We're in the first dipper. I call this one media bias. And I tell you what, some of the stories that have been going out there, you look at what happened during the campaign, like with the editing of the Kamala Harris interview by 60 Minutes and putting out a different answer than what she had actually said. You look at things like when you know, the modern public square now is social media, and you look at what Facebook and the old Twitter did with the Hunter Biden laptop during the 2020 campaign. These things are absolute media bias. When you say you're objective, be objective. Well, one of those in our state right now that irks a lot of us who are on the conservative side is the one that pretends to be objective on all things news, and that's AL.com. And, you know, it just we had to call them out this week because they literally attacked one of the most beautiful small towns in Alabama. I love the city of Coleman, a great place. I've spent some time over there. I've got friends over there. And right now on the phone, I've got somebody who knows it quite well. State Senator Garland Gudger is a Republican from Coleman. He serves as a state senator for that area. He also, if I'm not mistaken, used to be on the city council, and he's on the phone right now. Garland Gudger, how are you doing?
I'm great, Phil. Great hearing from you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today.
Yeah, man, thank you. By the way, congratulations. You are the incoming pro tem of the Alabama Senate, selected by your peers, I understand.
Yeah, well, selected by my peers. It's a great honor to be there. I want to make sure that I represent them well and all the people of the state of Alabama. And I'm excited. There's a lot coming my way because of that title and because of that position, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm starting to work as hard and diligently as I can each and every day to make sure I'm getting ready for session.
Well, and I hope that we can keep that open line of communication going and talk to you about things related to the session as it develops. I know that some bills are being pre-filed already. Y'all go in when, by the way? When's the session start this year?
February 4th, we'll be there. We'll obviously be there a day or two before that, but at the same point, we are going to be there February 4th and then be there for about 3 months, as you well know, being a past senator. You understand the craziness when it gets there, but February 4th this year is our first day.
It's usually the longest 3 months of your life, usually.
You're not kidding. The bandwidth will be worn out by the end of that three-month period, and sometimes you just have to just sit still and just take a deep breath at the end of the session and just like, what in the world? It's just such as a whirlwind. But it's the right thing to do. We get in, we do our business, we get out, we make sure we pass the budgets and what's in the Constitution that we're supposed to do each and every year. So we're blessed to be able to have good people that represent the state of Alabama down in Montgomery.
Hey, and let me ask you this real quick, too, before I get on to the main topic. Senator Greg Reed, who hails from your neck of the woods, he was over in Walker County in that area in Jasper. He was the pro tem. He stepped down recently to take a position in the Ivey administration. Is there going to be a special election for a position, or is it close enough to where they're just going to let it ride out until the next election season? How's that work?
There will be a special election for that coming up. I know that there's Representative Matt Woods is already putting signs out. I went through his district the other day on the way back from Tuscaloosa and saw his signs. He's looking forward to it, but we're still 2 years left in this term. So if it was only 1 year, I would say you are correct.
Yeah.
It would not be a special session, but having 2 years, then we need someone from that particular area to be represented at least for part of this year and next year before we go into election cycle.
That was my thought because the campaign season for the regular election doesn't start until next spring when you're 1 year out from the primary, right?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, listen, let me get over to the main topic at hand. I've been talking about media bias for the last half hour. And on my show this week, we had an epic rant on your behalf, really, from a guy named Scott Buttram. You may know Scott. He's the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. Great guy. But he has been just, and I join him in this, just ticked at the way Coleman was maligned by a story that was run on AL.com that just insinuated that y'all are what they call a sundown town with signs up that tell black people to get out of town by sundown. And am I correct that you were on the city council before you were in the state senate?
I was on the city council for 14 years. I was the youngest city councilman in the history of Coleman. And then after my first term, I became the president of city council for a decade. And so I was through the wet dry referendum. I was through the recreation in kind of the downtown, and then after the tornadoes in 2011 is really when we took off when I was still president of city council. So I'm very proud of our town. I'm very proud of the people that are here, economic development, the tourism, and everything about our small town. I'm very thankful that I grew up here, worship here, play here, and live here.
Well, and I think rightfully so. And you're also a business owner in downtown. In fact, I love your business. You run a great architectural salvage business, Southern Accents, correct?
That is correct. My father started out of his garage, and that's what you find in Coleman, Alabama, is good, hardworking people. My father was a dean of Wallace State Community College and did this on the side. He did this just to help raise me and my two sisters and put us through college. And then after about 30 years of doing both, he decided to retire, and that's when I took over and decided to do the business full-time in 1999. So this is my 25th year. I've been a small business owner in Coleman, Alabama.
Well, so let me ask you this. You know Dale Jackson, I'm sure, who runs a morning show on WVNN, one of the affiliate stations that I'm on in Huntsville. He's got a $1,000 reward for anybody that can produce one of these so-called sundown town signs. And as far as I know, he hadn't had to pay anybody yet. What's your thoughts on all this?
I'm going to go ahead and put it out there right now. I'm going to match his $1,000 if anybody else does bring it. So now it's up to $2,000 right here on your show so you can hear. All right, so anybody that has one is great. I've done my research, and it's really gotten me interested in truly what is the history of this. And the first time that I found something about Coleman and having a sign was in 1874, believe it or not, in the Montgomery Advertiser, and it talked about people coming into Coleman that had a passion, and if you didn't have a passion for what you did, then you didn't need to be in Coleman. It did not say anything about race at that time.
Wow.
And then from that, it came up again in 1910, 1937. But what's amazing, Phil, is that every one of these articles that I've pulled and did research on, no one has stated that they've seen the sign. It was always a sign that was here before they were started to talk about it, even in 1910. And so there's not a sign out there. It hasn't been a sign. And so when people... like this TikTok influencer and then was just copy and pasted on the AL.com front page, it puts a shadow over the hard work and the good people in Coleman, Alabama, that are working to bring people in from tourism to economic development to industry to big box. And Coleman is growing leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair to the people that are here in Coleman.
No, and I agree. And I mean, I pass through Coleman a lot, and then I stop in Coleman. I've shopped at your store before. I mean, I've eaten at some of the nice little restaurants downtown. I mean, the downtown area has been cared for. You guys have built the new bypass around, so you can bypass downtown if people want to. And you've got lots of industry. But what really strikes me, though, is I have never been there and not felt like the folks that you run into on the sidewalk weren't just good folks. I mean, there's nobody that ever seemed to insinuate that you're not from around here. You know, it never felt that way.
Yeah. The people here are hardworking, blue-collar, sincere, good-hearted people. And it's been that way my whole life. I just grew up thinking everybody was, you know, had that same mentality. It's not always true in every town, but at the same point, Coleman is the epitome of that. And to the point where we've now called the city of festivals, and we have something every month during the summer, where thousands and thousands of people come here. Obviously, we're the home of Rock the South, over 100,000 people. And this Christmas market, which is what all of this began about on AL.com, is going to bring in over 250,000 people this year over the next 4 weeks. And so for us, for someone just to automatically assume that we're a sundown town in today's society is just asinine to me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, who would imagine that can even be allowed to happen? Like nobody like would ever step up and say, take that sign down, that doesn't represent us. They would just let it, they would drive past it and not think a thing of it. And I'll be honest with you, Garland, I mean, I can remember refuting some of this when I was in the Senate. And one of the things that I said many times, I said on the show too, is Alabama certainly has a checkered past, but I don't think any state has come further than Alabama has. We were not only the cradle of the Confederacy, we were the seat of the modern civil rights era. I mean, there's the things that have overcome much of what we call racism, systemic racism, has been dealt with through Alabama, and we've dealt with it well, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And one step further than that is doing my research. I have come to the conclusion and pulled every sundown town in the nation. There was over 10,000 so-called sundown towns nationwide. It's not like Coleman, Alabama, or Alabama was the only one. But if you look back in today's society, I think we've become further married together than it is anything that has a racist past. I mean, we had everything in Alabama's had a checkered past, but today's society, anyone and all are welcome, especially at this Christmas market and every one of our festivals that are here. But again, I'm proud of where we are in today's society, and everyone is welcomed here in Coleman, Alabama.
And y'all were also the host site for the Trump rally, am I right?
You are correct, yes. We were the host for that, and there was, as you well know, thousands and thousands of people that came there right after the week after Rock the South 2 years ago, I believe it was. And went off without a hitch, and everything does. The only thing that seems to be causing issues are people from that have never been to Coleman from and that are outside of Coleman wanting to talk about Coleman. And so, you know, I guess we're doing something right because they're talking about us, but the way that they're casting the shadow on us through our past is not fair to any town in Coleman, in any town in Alabama, much less my own hometown.
Well, listen, man, this was an easy interview because I know your passion for your community, but let me ask you this with about a minute left. AL.com ran the article. They've taken some heat from groups like me, from Dale Jackson, from Trustful Tribune, from 1819 News. Has AL.com reached out to you at all to say, sorry about that, didn't mean to run that?
They have not, and I don't believe they have contacted the city of Coleman that's putting this on as well, but I believe that there's going to be some type of action being taken if they don't do that pretty quick to the city of Coleman and to the mayor of the city of Coleman, Woody Jacobs.
Well, and I think rightfully so. I mean, you can have mass defamation, and this is a case where I would say you have mass defamation.
I would have to agree with you, and I believe there's grounds for that based on the article that was written, and so hopefully something that will be a public apology will be coming soon.
All right. And you got $1,000 on the table too. If somebody can produce a sign, we'll figure it out.
It's coming out from my small business in downtown Coleman. I'll be more than happy to match Dale Jackson's $1,000. So now it's up to $2,000.
All right. Well, man, listen, we appreciate you. In case we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas, but thanks for making a few minutes today.
Phil Williams, always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
See you, bud. We're going to take a break right now, but listen, that I thought that was important. In terms of media bias, listen, They shouldn't be allowed to do this. And it's one of my passions when I travel abroad and people say, Alabama, oh, don't y'all have, no, we don't. No, we don't. Has it been in the past? Of course it has. It's been in every state. But listen, I don't think any state's come further. And Cullman, Alabama, is a beautiful little town, and we need to support that event they've got coming up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm going to the phones here momentarily. Let me tell you real quick. A text from Frank from Huntsville says the Chris Kendall Mart in Cullman is having so many visitors that I heard it's causing traffic jams in Cullman. I heard people are coming from all over the U.S. to visit. So thankful that everyone doesn't read the biased news, or at least believe the biased news. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that. Jim from Athens says, my wife loves the downtown of Cullman, especially the warehouse district. Lots of great shops for her, LOL. My daughter and her family live in Cullman County, and I, too, have shopped in his store. Yeah, Garland Gudger's store, by the way, if you like architectural salvage, kind of like, you know, American Pickers kind of stuff, it is crazy cool. We actually bought some stuff there several years ago when we were building a house and incorporated the pieces into our construction. Just so much cool stuff there. Let me go to the phones real quick. Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Miss Lee, how you doing?
Hi. Well, I have a friend of mine who lived in Europe a good bit and went to a lot of Christ Kindle markets there. You know, they have them all over Europe, especially in Germany and, you know, Austria, places like that. And she said, she goes, people love it. It's fabulous. She goes, I thought it was wonderful, and I've been to them everywhere, and they have little collectible mugs and everything. So we went, took our kids. My kids are older, too, and they loved it, loved the food. And let me tell you, I never saw a face that wasn't smiling.
Yeah.
You know, at everyone. Just tons of people, tons. That thing is packed. I saw all kinds of people from all kinds of places. It was wonderful. I've heard at night it's even prettier. We went during the day because it's lit up and it's really beautiful. And it's just something you have to check out. I really enjoyed myself. I got an ornament, ate there. The food was fabulous. They just got everything you can want. So I really highly encourage everyone to go. It's worth the drive. It's worth the time. And I also want to say to AL.com, why are you still trying to drag us with your dirty claws back into the past?
Yeah.
You bunch of hyenas.
No kidding.
How dare you try to downgrade our society and our lovely people who are very loving and kind. I've traveled the U.S. and I've lived other places.
That's right.
And there's no one kinder than the people of the state of Alabama to everyone.
You are so correct. In fact, when people spend a minute or two here, they're usually blown away. And this has been a place where retirees have been finding their home. I know folks who have moved here from California to get out of that mess. And it's the environment here is not what the mainstream media wants it to be, because they get a great narrative out of that. But those race baiters and charlatans in the mainstream media and this TikTok influencer and people like him that try to trash Cullman, they're living on another planet from what we really have.
Well, 1819 wrote a good article about it, denouncing it.
Yeah.
But one of my own kids asked me about it, and I said, look, what, we're not in the 1960s. We're 2024. That's 60 years ago. Things have changed, and Alabama is a wonderful place to live. But I just think that AL.com, the name AL, it's in there. Why do you continuously trash our state? I hate these people. Really,
it's nuts, and they don't deserve the moniker of being the news. I mean, about the only thing you can get from AL.com now that you can trust is the sports, and even still, just, you know, whatever. but
exactly.
Hey, Lee, thanks, appreciate you. We'll have you on later this week, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, we'll see you then. I tell you right now, this Cullman thing has already got the ire of not only our audience, but I love the fact that other. Here's what I love. I love the fact that other news outlets are coming to the rescue or the defense of not only Cullman, but then also calling out AL.com because they deserve it. I mean, it's like more like failed.com. It's trash.
Do you think they see that and they go, oh wow, we're really. Really need to change things up, or do they feed off of that? They think that they're a victim, and they're going off of, we're the hated newspaper in Alabama. We're going to keep going.
I don't know. But then, you know, if you want an audience, why alienate your audience?
Yeah.
You look at it and go, you just branded an entire town.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like you called out one politician who did something you didn't like. You branded an entire town, maybe even a county, and everybody who loves it. So, I mean, have you ever seen the twin-spired cathedral there? The Catholic, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, enough of that. We're going to change subject. We'll get back. Jan 6 Justice. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.